Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today I'm going to be speaking with Linda Fostek, who I met at a conference run by the Women's Prosperity Network. Linda is a best-selling author, an international speaker, and an educator who focuses in on getting off the worry-go-round, and we'll hear more about what's the worry-go-round in a minute. She helps to focus by giving resources that help you deal with and ward off potential disasters in your life. And I know we all want to hear more about that. Linda is involved with the Women's Prosperity Network. She's the leader of a couple of chapters. She's based in New York and in Long Island, and has had personal experience with having disaster step into her life and having to cope with it. I asked her to talk to you as a legal nurse consultant because the cases that you work on involve sudden, abrupt changes in people's lives, whether that's from an injury, from a car accident, or a slip and fall, or a medical mistake, or an allegation of a medical mistake. And I don't think we often think about what happens to family members and people whose lives are turned upside down. We know what happens according to the medical records, but what about behind the scenes when suddenly somebody is taken out of a typical role and needs to be able to cope with the changes associated with that? So welcome to the show, Linda, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me today, Pat. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Great. I know that we talked a little bit before the show to help formulate the direction of the show, and you've identified yourself as a crisis planner. First of all, it's funny in one way because many crises cannot be planned, but let's talk about what you can do as a crisis planner and what you did do in coming to this role and to this realization that you needed to help people with this aspect of life.
Well, basically, as the crisis planner, I help people really be prepared for the unexpected events in life. Just as you said, an accident can happen. You can suddenly become ill. These kind of things, you can't exactly plan for when that's going to happen. And while most of us know planning is an important thing we should do, many of us wait until we're in a crisis situation. And unfortunately, if you wait till you're in a crisis, you tend to have less options available for you. And literally, you will make bad decisions in a crisis situation because you're in a panic situation. So preparing for disaster before it happens seems to be the best way to approach disaster that I have found. And whatever preparation is required for, say, a natural disaster, hurricane, is the same preparation that you would need to have in place for a car accident, for a job loss, for an injury or disability, or even the death of a loved one. So the planning is exactly the same. It's just about thinking in advance about what you would want.
I'm thinking about your topic as I recall what happened last Friday. There was a very prominent man in my church who kind of knew he was living on borrowed time. He has an extended family around him. He went into the hospital Friday with a headache, the worst headache of his life, which we in medical care know means that he had some cerebral pathology And he died within a few hours after admission of an aneurysm. He was perfectly fine on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday morning, and all of a sudden, he's dead. And his family is now coping with this sudden, unexpected death. Tell us about how you got to recognize how important being able to plan in a crisis or plan for a crisis is. What happened in your life that made you interested in this?
Well, you know, actually, my whole life has been about, I was a Girl Scout, you know, so that was be prepared. Everybody had to be prepared. And, you know, I lived overseas for a period of time and traveled extensively to some pretty remote areas where the planning before you left was very important, making sure that everything was in place at home. At the same time, also making sure you brought all the things you needed with you, whether it would be a first aid kit and a roll of duct tape, but having the things that you needed with you in case of an emergency. So I've always kind of been a planner, and you know, I got that from my dad. My dad was an engineer, and every vacation was like an expedition, you know. He would plan out, okay, we're gonna get up at 6:30, we're going to drive 250 miles, we're going to spend 4 hours at Zion National Park, and then we're going to find a campsite, and, you know, and it went on like that for 30 days. So I got a lot of the planning from my dad. And when he was 70, he actually saw a lot of his friends losing a spouse. And as an engineer, he was looking for that. So he actually wrote a book called The ABCs of Home Occupation. Unfortunately, it was written like an engineer. It looked like something you had put together. And he didn't know what to do with it and or how to market it afterwards. And it sat for 3 years. 3 years later, I'm at an event, and I hear where Kevin Harrington was speaking. Now, he's one of the original Shark Tank, and he owns the brand as seen on TV. And somebody asked him how he picked from the 50,000 items where he gets presented, the 30 items he puts his name on. And he said if he saw something that filled a need, he felt compelled to the market. And at that moment, the light bulb went on over my head. I said, you know, us baby boomers really need to be focused on planning, because now we're dealing with our aging parents. We're seeing our own mortality, you know. And I was at the time dealing with a disabled husband, so it was very real to me. So that's how this crisis planner really came into being.
So you said you were dealing with a disabled husband. And how did that change your role when it came to these issues?
Well, you know, he had diabetes for over 20 years, and as he became sicker and sicker, his last 8 years, his disability became more and more noticeable. He had back issues. He had all kinds of muscular issues, in addition to things that are typically associated with diabetes, such as heart disease and control of sugar and weight issues, and he just had a lot of things going on. I always called him my collapsing lawn chair, because I felt like, you know, when you sit on a collapsed chair and it starts to go down and you know it's going, and you're like, oh, we've got it. No, we don't. Yeah, we got it. You know, you think you've saved it, but, you know, eventually it does ultimately go down. And he ultimately ended up with on dialysis with, you know, complete renal shutdown. And we were actually doing home dialysis at home, which actually improved his quality of life tremendously, as opposed to doing dialysis in the center. And it actually gave us really wonderful quality of time together. I think for me, as a caregiver, it was very important to have goals for myself, that I was taking care of me as well as taking care of him.
So it sounds to me like you were very supportive and spent a lot of time, I'm assuming, taking over some of the responsibilities or discussing responsibilities that he could no longer do himself. I think for many people, we are strongly into denial that this is not going to happen to us, that we will never be expected to take on responsibilities. that somebody else in our household is currently doing. How do you get around that denial?
Well, the thing about it is it can happen to one of us at any moment. Somebody we love, or even we could become disabled to the point that we need somebody that we love to take care of us. And it happens like that. You know, you said you just lost this member of your church to an aneurysm. Well, if he had survived, that could have been even worse, because that's almost like a living death. I mean, we have a friend whose mother had an aneurysm and is dead in a vegetative state for almost 2 years now. That's a horrible outcome for the family. You have legal documents and things that aren't settled, and your family is trying to sort through all of this. So if you have everything prepared beforehand, like my husband, he planned his whole funeral with what he's going to be read by the minister. He sat down with the minister and had a wonderful conversation with the minister about what was going to happen at his service. So when you're a caregiver, you grieve the loss of each function. And once the person is released, you're both free. It's actually, you know that they are in a much better place. But I was able to move forward because everything had been done. All the legal documents were done. Everything that we needed to do beforehand was done. And it makes it so much easier for your loved ones. It's probably the greatest gift you can give to your family, to have those things in place. And unfortunately, some of these things get overlooked. In fact, recently I had a conversation with somebody whose college-age child had gotten sick, was in the hospital, was not able to make medical decisions, but because they were an adult, the parents had no legal standing to make any of the decisions for them. So that really brought to mind that it really, for your college-age kids that are still dependent on you, that you really need to have your power of attorney, your living will, and your healthcare policy in place for them as well, so that should something happen to them, you are able to make decisions for them. That was a real eye-opener to me.
Yeah, that's a great point. I remember when my son was 16 and he went to the emergency room with pain in his stomach, the ER nurse asked him if he had a living will. And he looked at her like she was speaking Greek. And she very quickly realized that she was way over his head and it was not appropriate to talk to him about a living will. I think the question scared him more than the pain, because in his mind she was saying, if you die in the emergency room, what do you want us to do? And he was not in any way thinking about that.
No.
But having those conversations with people in your family, regardless of their age, is really critical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he survived that trip to the emergency room. Thank you very much. That was 15 years ago, and he's still alive and well. But at this point, we've never had a discussion about his wishes. Would he want to be on a ventilator if he stopped breathing suddenly? Would he want artificial nutrition? Those are the kinds of things that are covered by a living will, or having a healthcare proxy who can make those decisions for you is important.
You know, as an RN, you deal with that kind of thing where people don't have those things in place. And then what happens is the family argues, you know, well, no, mom would want this or mom wouldn't want this. And, you know, and then, God forbid, the person passes away without the legal documents in place. Then the arguments escalate to money. And siblings never speak to each other again after this, because nothing was written down. Nobody talked to anybody. Nobody knew what the wishes were. And it can be so easily avoided just by having those conversations with people that you love. And, you know, one of the most important things that I stress is putting all your documents together and communicating what you have to your important family members. They don't need to know how much is in an account. They don't need to know anything except where to find the information. And you've got everything written down. You know, so you don't have any of the arguments or discussions. Don't choose to. Because I know a lot of, like my parents' generation, the greatest generation, they never wanted to talk to anybody about money. You know, they were afraid their kids were going to take everything from them. They lived through the Depression. They, you know, to them, that was not a conversation they wanted to have. Getting them to write things down, tell us where to find it. We don't need it now. And probably the most important document that they do need to tell you they have is if they have a long-term care policy. Because that was one of the saddest things that I worked with, a family whose father had Alzheimer's. They had kept him at home as long as they could with AIDS, and finally it had gotten to the point they had to put him in a nursing home. They signed over the house to Medicaid because they had no more money to pay for his care. The nursing home was $15,000 a month. And when he passed away a few months later, that's when Medicaid makes you sell the house, clean out the house to get their money. And they're cleaning out the house and they found a care policy in the bottom drawer in his bedroom. Nobody knew about. So, you know, if you have long-term care, please make sure you tell your loved ones that you do have a long-term care policy so they know to find it. And the other thing is to make sure you designated somebody to be notified if for some reason you stop paying your long-term care policy inadvertently. You know, say dementia or Alzheimer's makes you forget to pay it, that somebody in the family would be notified that policy does not lapse. Because if you paid into it for years and years and years, but then you allow it to lapse just where you need it the most, it's a sin. It really is a horror. So, you know, I make sure that you designate somebody to be notified and that your family knows that you actually have that.
You know, that's a great point. I did another podcast with Debbie Johnson, whose husband died suddenly. He had decided that his health care insurance, his life insurance policy, I'll get that right. His life insurance policy was going from $100 to $500 a month. And he decided that was too expensive and he canceled his insurance policy. And 2 months later, he dropped dead and there was no money. The policy was gone.
I mean, and that happens so often. You know, people don't realize that the ramifications of doing that. And, you know, they say, well, it's so much money, I can't afford it. You know, but can you afford not to have it is the question. And what is canceling that policy? What does it mean for your loved ones or your family? Because if you cancel that policy and then suddenly drop dead, your family has nothing. And that truly is a nightmare, especially when we had a policy in place. The other mistake people make is they don't put the same level of insurance on the spouse that may be the stay-at-home wife or the person who makes less money. Because if the homemaker or the stay-at-home house is suddenly not there, all the expenses that you have for, you know, taking care of the children and transporting the children and doing all the home, you know, things in the home. You need a housekeeper. You need you need all these people to provide the services. You're going to spend a lot more than you would have spent insurance policy. It really is, you know, something that I think most people don't understand the value of having that policy in place.
Can you tell us about a method of designating your next of kin, which is using the word ICE?
Well, ICE is in case of emergency. And, you know, you need to have some place where you actually record and list those people that you want to be notified if something should happen to you. Now, there's a number of ways that I have three different types of ICE. You've got your phone ICE. So in your phone, you have emergency contacts. Those are your ICE contacts. Now, some phones have a really easy way of accessing them, even when your phone's blocked. It'll have the emergency tab come up on your phone. You can hit that, and the emergency contacts come up. Some phones, you actually have to set it up as an ICE contact. In my phone, what I do is I take the first name, and I write ICE in capital letters, and then the first and last name, and then last in line, I put their relationship to me, and then I put the phone number, and I usually will put their cell phone number, their home phone, and their work phone if they have all three, so that those people would be contacted, but I want to have that relationship also marked. Then there's refrigerator ICE. Now, people laugh when they say refrigerator ICE, because in the old days, people used to keep their jewelry and money in the refrigerator, right? put it in the freezer, right? But refrigerator ICE is an envelope that you have attached to your refrigerator. It's labeled with the word ICE across it. And in that, you have your emergency contacts, your doctor contacts, your medical conditions, your medications. You can put a copy of your healthcare policy, your living will, and your power of attorney in there. Because if you are rendered unconscious and emergency services come into your house and there's nobody there, they are going to look on your refrigerator for that kind of information. And that's going to give them some really awesome information about it. Now, my mother-in-law was a diabetic, and my father-in-law was not with it at that point. He had dementia, and she would have a low sugar episode where she would pass out. And he thought every time that happened that she had a stroke, but it was just low sugar. So he would call the EMS, and they'd come, and they would say, oh, she had a stroke, but it wasn't a stroke at all. Mm-hmm. And if they had that ICE envelope on the refrigerator, they would have known to check her sugar first to see where she was. So that's the kind of information that can be very beneficial, especially for a difficult diagnosis. Immediately with EMS, they know it's low sugar right from the beginning. They're going to treat you differently than if they think you're a stroke protocol.
Absolutely.
And then you have your regular ICE file with all of your important documents in a grab-and-go box. So that's all your legal documents, insurance documents, your financial documents, your banking information, credit information, your passwords for your computer, all of your personal, like your license, your passport. All of that should be in your file. Anything having to do with the house, your deed, your title, your survey, all of those important documents should be in your ICE box, as I call it, which is a grab-and-go box that you can grab if there's an emergency, like a tornado or a hurricane or a fire. You grab and go and take it with you. You'll have everything you need to rebuild and construct. And your family would, if it's a personal emergency, like a medical emergency or something, they're going to be able to access the documents they need to make sure that everything is taken care of. So it's ICE is really, in case of emergency, you put everything together, all that information in one place. And then I often recommend that people have a copy of all those documents in the cloud and in a safe deposit box as well. So you really want them in three places. If your home is destroyed, you still have two copies. If your town is destroyed, you still have the cloud. And I guess if all three are gone, need it anyway, because we're in much bigger trouble than we thought.
That's right. And those three places again, the house, the bank, and the third place was on the cloud?
In the cloud.
Okay.
And, secure vaults in the cloud that you can get secure space that's, separate and, it's all password protected, where you can actually upload documents and keep them there. So that can be very, very helpful when it comes to real making sure that you can access things that you need when you need them.
And I know that you have touched on this a little bit, but could you spell out the benefits of having this kind of documentation in place? Because I know there are listeners who will say, oh, that's a lot of work to put all that together. Why should I bother?
Well, there are three problems that are inherent in any disaster. And that is slow recovery. The average recovery time after a natural disaster, such as Hurricane Michael that you just had in Florida, or as the fires they just had out west, the flooding they have in the Midwest every year, the average recovery time is 10 years before a community completely recovers from disaster. So having your documents and having everything together can accelerate that recovery significantly for you as an individual. You all know families that, you know, after mom dies, nobody's talking to each other. Or they're arguing over, you know, dad just had a heart attack, he's unresponsive, do we resuscitate, do we intubate, do we put a pacemaker in, he's 95 years old, what do you want? The feeding tube, as you mentioned. So that a lot of arguments go on because nobody wants to pull the plug on dad, you know, but if dad says, I don't want any of this to be done, then you can all sit there and hold his hand and be there for him and make a transition a beautiful event instead of one that's causing harm. The final thing that you avoid by things in place is the chaos, frustration, fear, anger, overwhelm that occurs when you're in the middle of it. You won't have to think about, oh, what do I need to do? You won't be sucked into making a bad decision. You'll have thought through, okay, we had the second opinion, we made an informed decision, we did what we needed to do, and now this is our plan and we're going to execute it. It makes it so much easier when you actually have a plan in place. And yes, it can be an overwhelming task, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you take one bite at a time. You look at, okay, first thing I have to do is get my legal documents in place. All right, so that may be something you have to budget for because, you know, legal documents cost money. If you want them done right and you want to understand what those documents mean, if you have a disabled family member, you need to have some sort of a special needs trust set up for that disabled family member. You know, if you have, you need to have the right advice. So basically, if you're a senior, you want an elder care attorney that's well-versed in elder law to tell you that you want a revocable trust, which is a Medicaid trust, or revocable trust is a regular trust. That's a tax shelter. Irrevocable trust is a Medicaid trust. That's different. That shelters your money from Medicaid in terms of your home and things like that so that you can, and that has to be done 7 years prior to you needing it or 5 years prior to you needing it. So there's a work back for this. Some states, I think it's 5 years in most states at this point. But you need to plan ahead. If you want to protect assets, you want to protect your family, and it is worth it. I will tell you, with hands down, I lost my husband last year, I lost my wife last year, and having everything done made both of those transitions bearable. I was able to be a daughter, you know, when my mom was in hospice. I was able to be a wife when my husband was passing. So makes such a difference instead of saying, oh my God, what do I have to do? Everything was in place and it all it makes it a huge difference.
And tell our listeners what type of services that you offer with people who are grappling with this issue and how can they find out more about those services?
Well, I have several books that outline different things that you can do. And the simplest one is actually just a Now What book. Just pull down Now What. It's a little workbook. It's not overwhelming. And it's a great place to start organizing your information. I also have an entire home planning system that is extensive for homeowners. And really, it helps them organize information for tax planning purposes when they sell the house, for insurance purposes if they ever have a loss, for just so that they know what the heck they just bought when they buy a house. And most homeowners, when they say they buy the house, is the happiest day of their life and the scariest. Now they're like, oh my God, what did I do? But it tells them what they can do when something goes wrong and when to call in the professionals, how to minimize damage. But the simplest thing you can do from the beginning is find the documents that are important and get those together first. Because you probably have a lot of this stuff already done, which is really good. And then find out the things that you're missing and then fill in the blanks. So to reach me, the best way to reach me is actually thecrisisplanner.com, which is my website. And you can purchase any of my books and my home planning system there. Or you can reach me at Linda Fostek, that's Fostek, at thecrisisplanner.com. And I'd be delighted to hear from anybody.
Well, thank you, Linda. You've certainly made me think about the need for documentation, and I purchased one of your systems, and my husband and I have blocked off time next month to fill out the forms, get that information documented. You've been listening to Pat Iyer and Linda Fostek talk about planning for a crisis, coping with a crisis, and putting a system in place so that it's so much easier and faster to recover from a crisis when you know where your papers are and you've got them securely saved so that you can access them when you need them. Thank you, Linda, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. This has been delightful, and I'm so glad I was able to share this valuable information with your listeners.
Absolutely. And to you, our listener, thank you for being here and listening to Linda Fostek and I talk. This is Legal Nurse Podcast. We'll be back next week with another interview. In the meantime, be sure to go to iTunes and like our show. Add a review and tell other Legal Nurse consultants about the podcast. That's it for now. Do you ever want to be able to refer back to the tips we shared in our podcasts? We transcribe every show. Have you ever read a transcript created by artificial intelligence? The computer makes a guess at the words. If a human does not proofread that transcript, there will be parts that don't make any sense. Our transcripts eliminate that frustration. We use a human to do the transcription, and then we proofread the transcript, not once, but by three people. Why would you want the transcripts of Legal Nurse Podcast? Maybe you want to be able to implement the tips we share, and to do so, you want to refer to what you heard. Maybe you like to read instead of to listen in order to learn. Get the transcripts by using this short link, http://lnc.tips/subscribe podcast. There's no space between subscribe and podcast. The link is http://lnc.tips/subscribe podcast. The transcripts are free as our gift to you. Be sure to come back next week and put a review on iTunes sharing your opinion about Legal Nurse Podcast. We love to see reviews and we appreciate you being here. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBiz.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs My membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.